97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Good morning. Happy Monday. Hope your day's off to a great start. I'm Kim St. Ange. I'm filling in for Mark just one more day. He'll return tomorrow. So in the meantime, Scott Jagow here in the studio with us.
Hello.
Of course, Carl Middleman, Sue Thomas, hey. Navigating traffic. We have a lot more to get to in the show. Two more hours here on the Mark Cox Morning Show. By the way, however you're listening to us, thank you. Of course, have the Odyssey app, radio. We podcast the entire show. We are back on Facebook, baby, so we have people commenting on there. We are staying on Rumble. I know some people made the switch over there. We're not leaving there, so that is still an option for you. But yes, a very happy Columbus Day, or as Biden declared it, an Indigenous Peoples Day. How are you celebrating the occasion today?
Unfortunately, I'm working, as you are.
You know, a lot of people will probably have the day off because the post office is closed. I know some banks are closed. Any non-essential federal offices, those are going to be closed today. But yes, you're right. Those of us here at the station are all working.
Yeah, in the broadcasting industry, there really aren't many days off. So
no, but
I'm used to it.
But TV, I'll tell you, I was used to having to work Thanksgiving, Christmas. So this has
actually been
a lot better. Yeah, I think about all the nurses and doctors who are on call, at least if they're not scheduled to work Thanksgiving, Christmas, they're probably used to having to spend that holiday away from their family. You know, I get Columbus Day. You know, I don't expect to have that off. But
right.
Christmas and Thanksgiving, I like to have those off.
So. Yeah, it's... Life's too short not to have those days off,
yep,
right?
Yep. Well, a lot happened over the weekend, as it usually does, especially when we're just 20-some-odd days out from the election, including a potential third assassination attempt against Donald Trump. They intercepted this guy who pulled up to the Coachella Valley rally over the weekend, and it turned out he had a fake license plate, fake ID, fake press badge. He had all sorts of passports that were not his name, his picture. The guy had some guns in his car, so he ended up getting arrested, posted bail, $5,000, so he's out. Well, the local sheriff's office there is saying, we believe this was going to be a third assassination attempt had we not stopped him. The feds are saying, no, this is not what you think. We're not planning to investigate it as a potential assassination attempt if it would have come to that point. They think this guy, who apparently is a registered Republican, 49-year-old Vem Miller is his name. There's video of him at the RNC. So there's this back and forth of what was this? I saw Charlie Kirk posting about how he's been talking to sources who say this guy was not after Trump. He's a Trump supporter. He just happened to have guns in the car and he's a sovereign citizen. I'm trying to remember how that goes. I've heard of people who follow that, who say that they are not held accountable to the government. They're very anti-government, which arguably I would say to a degree I am. But I still believe that you have to submit to the government unless it goes against God. But these people do not even agree with being pulled over. Like, they don't register their car so they don't have to pay taxes on it, anything like that. So. Interesting to see how this plays out, since there's a disagreement between what was really going to happen. I don't know. All right, let's get to our top stories, Carl.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Tim Walz is headlining a voter engagement event tonight with black men. Who better to connect with young black men than Tim Walz?
Yeah, Bill Maher says not looking so great for the Democrats. You have Tim Walz out there. Now you have Kamala Harris, who's going around to the battleground states talking to black churchgoers, asking for their vote.
And I'm hereby calling for the death penalty for any migrant that kills an American citizen or law enforcement officer.
Another huge crowd over the weekend for Trump. That was at the Coachella Valley rally that he had over the weekend. Again, calling for the death penalty for all of these illegals who have been pouring over our southern border.
Governor, what kind of gun is it?
This is a Beretta A400. I bought it when I was shooting a lot of trap, because it has a kind of their patented thing, a kickoff.
Now, I'm not pretending like I'm some avid hunter, but Tim Walz has said he is, okay? That is, he is self-proclaimed avid hunter, and there he is. He's being mocked for appearing to struggle to load his gun while pheasant hunting.
Our brand new ABC News Ipsos poll shows Kamala Harris with a narrow 2-point lead over Donald Trump nationally among likely voters.
There you have it. The ABC poll is saying that Trump has closed the gap between him and Harris. And there's an NBC poll that's saying the same thing. So listen to the NBC poll findings. So October, the latest poll that was taken the 4th through the 8th of this month, it has Trump at 48, Harris at 48, so dead tie. September, Trump had 44, Harris had 49. That's pretty substantial.
Well, she got the bump from the convention. But then you also have to consider, in terms of these polls, they're talking about the popular vote. That is not what's going to decide the election. It is the electoral votes.
Well, they want to get rid of it. Remember, well, Tim Walz came out and said we should get rid of the Electoral College, and then Kamala Harris came out trying to do damage control.
Right,
But I think she would be in favor of that, too. She just won't say it.
Right. But it does come down to the key states, the seven states, and how people in those states vote and those electoral votes. That's not the popular vote. And again, back to what I said earlier about the polls in terms of Trump, there are a lot of hidden voters out there that don't respond to these polls or they're not asked. I mean, traditionally, Trump gets a bump after, you know, when the election actually happens, mm-hmm. even though the polls say this, that's not the truth. So,
well, that's why so many people were stunned in 2016, right?
Right,
because
exactly.
Hillary Clinton was up in the polls and then all of a sudden Trump comes back. And to your point, I agree. I think that is what's happening. A lot of these people aren't responding. These polls are made up from maybe 1,000 potential voters. And some of them claim that they'll still change their mind. What are you waiting to hear? I do think that Kamala Harris earlier this, well, I guess I should say summer, but even into September, I think that she was kind of in the honeymoon phase for people. She was kind of the new shiny object. And I don't mean that in a mean way. I just mean that people were excited to not have Joe Biden. And then the DNC gave her another bump. And then they saw her dodging interviews. Well, then she finally agreed to some. And she's kind of blown it. I mean, you do the 60 Minutes interview and he actually asks some tough questions. And she just goes over the same rehearsed lines. Which is why it's so funny when SNL is making fun of her, saying when they ask a question on this Family Feud skit and, you know, what would you find in your glove compartment? And she says, well, listen, I was raised in a middle class family.
That's right.
It's her go-to. And anytime she doesn't have a teleprompter, she flounders. I mean, that's not what you want in a president who's scared of interviews, scared of people having opposing views because she doesn't probably feel like she can handle those kinds of questions.
Yeah, to be fair to her, she got thrust into this very late into the presidential election in July after that debacle of a debate. She spent the last 4 years kind of being hidden behind the scenes. You know, nobody ever hears from her. She, you know, chuckles and does these weird lines and stuff. So, I mean, I don't think she spent the last 4 years preparing to be president. I honestly don't.
No.
And now it's all of a sudden she's in the limelight. It's her. And she chokes. I mean, that's my assessment of it.
Right. And I was talking about this on the show Friday, saying how there's people wondering if maybe Joe Biden's trying to sabotage her campaign. I'm not saying I believe that. I don't really know what to think right now, but I will say it is a little bit odd that he's been planning not just one, at least a couple of these big press conferences that tend to be rare for him. So when he does do one, it's a big deal and all the news outlets pull off whatever they're doing and they want to go to his, you know, press conference or whatever. And that's happened when she was speaking about the whopping $750 for the people who have been affected by, at that time, it was Hurricane Helene. And they went off that coverage and they went to cover Joe Biden. Why are they not speaking? It's the same administration. How are they not talking? You might want to wait until Kamala Harris's spiel is over and then the president should speak.
I agree.
It's very odd to me. So I think it raises questions. All right. When we come back, it is Real or Fake News with Carl Middleman.
I'm so ready.
We are fighting the fake news.
Real or fake?
Fake. Phony. Fake.
News quiz.
It is time for the Real or Fake News quiz. I'm Carl, and I ask every week at this time, the people in the studio to give us their opinions of the headlines that I'm telling, if they are real or fake. Last week, Kim St. Ange won. Congratulations, Kim.
Thank you.
Because I wasn't here.
Okay.
But also, the last time Scott was here, Scott won.
That's true. That's right. I did.
So.
Very rare, but I did.
Ethan, we're going to start with you.
Wow, okay.
There we go.
Real or fake? Having chips and salsa at an event is more likely to increase attendance rather than a dog.
Oh.
If people know that there will be a dog there, are they more likely to attend or having chips and salsa?
So wait, is this true or false, or do I have to pick
real
chips?
Real or fake? Having chips or salsa is more likely to increase than having a dog. Real or fake?
I'll go real.
Kim Sainosh.
Food's a big driver. I know people love dogs, but I'm going to say true.
Yeah, I got to go true, too. I think there are enough people that don't like dogs.
You're all wrong.
Okay.
Oh, there we go.
You're all wrong.
So it is dogs.
It's a dog.
Okay.
People love their damn dogs.
Well, if it was a cat,
did you pick chips and salsa as a random thing?
Or, yeah.
That's pretty good.
People like chips and salsa.
I love chips and salsa.
Don't double dip.
All right. Kim Sainosh, according to the newest numbers from Instagram, Lionel Messi is the most followed person on Instagram. Real or fake?
I know he's very, very popular. I don't know. I'm going to say... I'll say true.
Real or fake?
I'm going to say false because I have someone else in mind.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Scott. I think there's somebody bigger.
And who is that person?
T-Swift.
No.
Selena Gomez? Wasn't she number one for a while?
Well, you just...
It's probably like Kylie Jenner.
So is it true or...
It is false. It is Cristiano Ronaldo.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. Well, we still get credit.
That's probably all the, it's all the women. I mean, yeah, I know there's soccer fans who would follow him because they like him as an athlete, but there's also probably the women who follow him just because...
In the same...
Oh, they think he's cute.
In the same release from Instagram, Scott Jagow, real or fake, the number one female is Ariana Grande. Real or fake?
Well, we're back to what I just said, so I guess I'm going to stick with T-Swift.
Ethan Bright.
I'm going to say false.
I'm going to say fake, too.
I'll say fake.
It is fake. It is not T-Swift. It is Selena Gomez.
Okay, so yeah.
Actually, the number one account that is followed the most by everyone is Instagram's own account.
Of course.
Because you follow Instagram because they give you your...
Do you automatically, by default, follow them whenever you sign up for an account? Because I don't think so.
Is it
kind of
like Tom from Facebook or whatever?
I follow Instagram.
MySpace.
MySpace. Yeah.
Ethan Bright, real or fake, 93% of teachers dip into their own wallets to furnish their classrooms. Real or fake?
I'd say real.
Kim Sainosh.
Real.
What's the percentage?
93.
Yeah, I got to say true.
It is real. Which is a sad state.
It seems like we had that one before.
You think so?
Yeah, something similar.
Okay.
Maybe not.
Scott Jagow, real or fake, your skin does not have a sense organ to let you know whether it is wet or not. Real or fake?
Huh. It is the biggest organ.
True.
But I kind of would go with true.
Real or fake? Ethan Bright.
And I don't understand the question very well, so I'm going to say fake.
I like that reasoning. I'm going to say real.
It is real. It is real. Your skin does not know whether it's wet or not. You have to visualize it to see that it is wet.
So my nerves don't tell me that I'm wet?
No.
Disagree.
Well, if your head is underwater, you're going to know because you can't breathe.
Go ahead.
You'll figure it out.
It's science.
No.
It's biology.
I'll explain later.
Okay. Kim Sainosh, German chocolate was actually made by an American named Samuel German, not an actual German person. Real or fake?
Sure, I'll say real.
Scott Jagow. I'm going to go fake.
Ethan Bright.
I am also going to go fake.
It is real?
No.
We have a tie right now.
Is it me?
No, you're not.
Of course not.
You're the one that's not in the tie.
Poor Ethan.
Scott Jagow, real or fake, the world's oldest captive fish has been alive since 1938.
Wait, captive?
Captive fish. The world's most captive fish has been alive since 1938 in a San Francisco aquarium. Real or fake?
Good grief. All right. True.
See, I say real too.
Okay, skip me. That's cool, kid.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Are you still in this?
Yeah. He's not.
Wow.
Sorry.
I'll say real.
It is real.
Okay.
His name is Methuselah.
Samuel German.
That's the fish's name?
Methuselah, yeah.
I could just set the headphones
down. That makes sense.
I don't like this one. I'm going to go with this one instead. Kim Sainosh, the reason National Hispanic Heritage Month starts on September 15th is due to the Mayan calendar. Real or fake?
Fake.
Scott J.
Well, let's go true.
Ethan Bright.
I'm not in it. Let's go true. Oh, please,
for the second week in a row.
Boo.
Kim St. Ange is our winner.
Thank you.
It's on the 15th because Independence Day in Costa Rica, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, and Nicaragua are all September 15th.
Awesome. Thank you.
Because they got rid of Spain that way.
All right, when we come back, a local pastor on why so many Christians are choosing to sit out the election, and also, what is the church's role in elections? I'm Kim St. Ange, in for Mark. All right, welcome back. I'm Kim St. Ange, filling in for Mark. He's back tomorrow. You know, on this show, I've been really open about my faith and how that has shaped a lot of my beliefs as it relates to, for example, abortion. I used to be very pro-choice, or I would say pro-abortion, and voting is very important to me, especially when it comes to Amendment 3. Vote no on Amendment 3, by the way. And so it was disheartening when I found this statistic. Listen to this. Barna Research found that over 32 million church-going Christians plan to sit out the 2024 election. What is going on? Why is this happening? Why are these Christians not motivated to get to the polls? I want to introduce our guest right now, and that is Wes Martin. He is the lead pastor at Grace Church in Maryland Heights, and we're waiting to get a hold of him because, you know, that church has been outspoken about some of these things like abortion, and I just think that is so needed. I think far too many pastors, priests have been silent on this issue. They worry about, you know, oh, I'm going to lose my 501c3 status. I hear that argument all the time. And I understand to a degree that could be in jeopardy. But it is time to talk about these issues. You cannot just have the excuse, well, this is the reason why I can't. No, this is a biblical issue. It's not just political. It's biblical.
Right. And of course, there should be a separation between church and state. But churches do, I think, have a function in getting people to vote. I don't necessarily believe they should be, you know, espousing opinions necessarily, but getting people to be a part of the community and participate in the electoral process, I think that is absolutely what churches should do.
Well, and the original design of separation of church and state was really to keep the state, the government, out of churches. A lot of times I've heard that argument too, and a lot of people will say it's because you don't want church, you know, you don't want to be imposing your religious views on other people there and forcing them to abide by that. But that's actually not the reason why it was initially created. Again, it's to keep the state out of churches, look what's happening. Censorship of pastors who speak out about things that they don't like. Even something as simple as ivermectin at one point during the height of the COVID pandemic was enough to get churches. Some of these pastors, they, you know, were in YouTube jail, or if some of them stream on Facebook, they were in Facebook jail. It's ridiculous. It's gotten completely out of hand.
And let's not forget synagogues, because over the last couple of years, they have been hit with security issues, and they've been beefing up security because they're scared about anti-Semitism. So to me, you know, you can't avoid it. They have to be part of the political process when you're forced into a situation like that.
What's mind-blowing to me now is I see Kamala Harris has started this Souls to the Polls effort where she's going around to churches in these battleground states. This kicked off this weekend, and she's actually speaking from the pulpit and trying to convince specifically the black churchgoers. That's really the big group she's targeting right now to vote for her. She has Obama out there campaigning, trying to speak to the black men, saying you need to vote for her. Are some of you not voting for her specifically because she's a woman? Which I don't know that I believe that. I think they don't like her policies, and they see that the Democrats have for years promised the black community they're going to do A, B, and C, and they're not delivering. And people are sick of it. They're finally seeing, you know, it's they're a lot of talk and not much on the action front.
Right. And it's noteworthy that the former President Obama has come out and lobbied black men to vote for Kamala Harris, and Kamala's going directly to the churches to lobby black men to vote for her. Obviously, it's 3 weeks before the election, and so everything's on the table, but it smacks a little bit of they're realizing there's a significant group of people who don't support her.
I agree. Listen to clip number four. This is some of what Kamala Harris was saying when she was speaking at one of those churches here over the weekend.
Because what we see is so hard to see that we lose faith or a vision of those things we cannot see but must know.
You got that, Scott? Could you translate that for me?
Was that Kamala Harris or Maya Rudolph? I can't tell them apart now.
I think she needs some tongs for that word salad, because that made absolutely no sense. She should have had a teleprompter.
Yeah.
I mean, really, we're at the point now where if she goes off script the tiniest little bit, or heaven forbid she doesn't even have a teleprompter, that is what you get. Listen to clip number three. This is what else she said.
Joy cometh in the morning.
There's the cackle we all love. And this, by the way, I guess was a debut of her latest accent.
Right, yes.
How many accents does she have?
She is a chameleon. Oh, and also, she is in excellent health because, as you may know, she released her medical records over the weekend to let us know
that she's
a healthy, happy 59-year-old.
Let me just separate myself from Joe Biden, even though they tried to tell us that he was somehow in good health, which if you were watching him speak or walk or anything, you could tell that he was not. And that's just a blatant lie. And by the way, Kamala was among the people who was trying to reassure the public just a handful of months ago. Oh, no, he's in great shape. He can run again. She was thinking that he was up to the task of serving another 4 years as president of the United States. Now, back to this whole thing with Christians not voting. I mentioned Barna Research found 32 million church-going Christians plan to sit out the election. I'm so tired of people taking the ability that we have to vote and have a voice in who is leading our country or leading our state or leading our city. It doesn't just stop at the federal elections. I mean, this goes down to school board elections. These matter. These matter. Why are you not? Why is that not so important to you to make sure you can get to the polls?
Yeah, I get the cynicism. I get the exhaustion with the political process. I mean, I definitely do feel that myself sometimes. But I have to remind myself, hey, it's once every 4 years in terms of a presidential election. So, how long does it take to actually vote? 15 minutes? I think it's worth 15 minutes of your time to participate in the process. Maybe my vote won't matter in whatever state it is because it's going to go red or blue, but that's not the point. The point is to participate in the process so you feel a part of it. And I agree with you.
Yes, and especially when you have something as important as Amendment 3 on the ballot here in Missouri. That is going to, despite what you're going to hear from some people, including the ads and the fact checkers, as they call them on Channel 4, KSDK, they're going to try to sit there and say, oh, this wouldn't legalize abortion all the way up to birth. This wouldn't allow transgender surgeries, irreversible transgender surgeries for minors. That's bogus. It absolutely will. If you look at the wording, yes, it says viability, but then it also makes a point to be intentionally vague to basically say if the health of the mother, whether that be physical or mental, is in jeopardy, and it doesn't say who gets to say that it is, so could it be a doctor, could it be a social worker, well then the abortion is okay. So can a social worker look at a mother and say, you know what, you look really tired, you seem a little stressed, can I just tell you, I have a child and I've gone through a pregnancy and you are tired, and there's a lot of that that comes with pregnancy, so I'm worried that people are going to use that as an excuse and boom, they're having an abortion 9 months, full term pregnancy abortions.
Yeah, and let's say out of these 32 million people, some of them don't have a strong opinion about one of the certain candidates that are in the election. But what about an issue like that? I am sure that they have strong opinions about that issue. And if you don't vote, then you have no one to blame but yourself when it gets enacted.
Right. And this is a call to all the pastors and priests. I know I'm not in that position. I can understand how difficult that would be. You need to be speaking from the pulpit about these. Stop with the excuses. You need to be talking to your congregation about what is at stake in this election. Okay. These are biblical issues. Do not let people sit there and say, well, you're just getting political. That's a bunch of nonsense. All right. After the break, we have Scott on the Spot part two. What are we talking about, Scott?
I think we're going to go with, well, I'm going to surprise you.
Oh, okay.
I like to surprise.
Keep us on our toes?
Yeah.
All right, looking forward to it.
Not Kim on a Whim. but Scott on the Spot.
Scott on the Spot is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Visit MissouriBrushControl.com.
We have a pretty serious healthcare issue in this country, and you can see it on TV every single day. I've been watching the sports, you know, watching football, watching baseball, and almost every ad block is filled with prescription drug commercials. Did you know that we are only one of two countries that allow pharmaceutical companies to direct to consumer campaign?
Yeah, it's crazy.
New Zealand is the only other country in the world that allows this. So, obviously, there's a conflict of interest in that drug companies, their bottom line is what they care about, not necessarily the health of the consumer. So I've been reading a lot about this. And besides the fact that these commercials are so annoying, you know, where you've got people walking toward the camera and they're dancing. What are they doing? Rollerblading.
We saw, what did we see this morning? Like line dancing. What, was that for Ozempic?
Yeah, that's the original song. Anyway, these commercials, you know, everybody's happy. But there's a serious problem here. And people are going to their pharmacist and their doctors and asking about these drugs. In particular, weight loss drugs are huge right now. Isn't Ozempic one of those? Yes. So I was reading this article about a pharmacist who did not want to be named. And this person said it puts doctors in a bad position because they're thinking, well, you know, it's not really going to hurt them. I don't really want them to have it, but they're going to fill out some survey saying I wasn't listening to their needs and I'm a horrible provider. So doctors, I mean, they probably benefit financially, too, through the drug companies pushing these on them. Because I went to the doctor recently and, yes, he said, yeah, there are a number of drugs out there right now that can deal with, you know, problem A or whatever. And I just know that this is not going well for the American public.
I agree. I think a lot of it stems back to the food that we're eating, the chemicals, the artificial dyes. They've come out and said that that is causing a myriad of issues. So I think the evolution of our food and what these companies have been allowed to put into them to make it visually more appealing or to taste better, I think that's a huge component. So it's almost like the FDA is working hand in hand with these pharmaceutical companies, because the pharmaceutical companies are benefiting off of the fact that the United States, I believe, because of food, or a big part of I think is because of food. Because of that, we're getting unhealthy, or we're getting sicker, I should say. So it then, because we're getting sicker, then the pharmaceutical company can still sell us more drugs. And around we go.
Right. And a lot of times the drugs are designed to do one thing, and then they discover that the drug does something else. And they're not supposed to be able to market it. So in the drug commercials, you sometimes will see these drugs and it doesn't say what it's for. You're just supposed to know what it's for. And that's how they get around it. And I do think that eventually, sooner rather than later, the government, you know, needs to step in on this one, because the drug companies are overrunning people with this stuff. I mean, it is just, do you know how much drug companies spend on TV ads every year?
I read this statistic somewhere. What is it?
$6 billion.
Yeah, I believe
that is
it.
Not,
I believe it.
That is not drug sales. That is only spending on commercials.
Well, and think about all the lobbyists who go out there talking to lawmakers, trying to get them to pass legislation in favor of them or whatever the case may be. It's so, so dirty. That is why I want RFK Jr. in charge of the FDA if Trump were to win. I actually think there's a shot maybe he would put him in that position, if at all possible, because I think that could have a larger ripple effect on some of these other departments. And I know the pharmaceutical company is separate, but I think that that would force the pharmaceutical company to make some changes. It is so out of hand what has been allowed here in the United States that's not allowed in other countries.
Yeah.
Why are we,
Do our
lives not, are they not as valuable? Is that why they're allowed to, I mean, I understand it's all about money. I get that.
Yeah. But people from other countries like Great Britain, they come over here and watch TV and they're stunned that drug companies can market directly to people mm-hmm. that way and have this line dancing and rollerblading, happy.
Joy, actually.
Yeah.
They feel
joy. Just everyone's so smart. Yeah. It's mm-hmm. like, It's something out of science fiction. Like, take this pill and everything will go away.
And then also there's a million side effects. I don't know, like death, heart attack, right. stroke that they mention in the really fine print.
Yeah, right.
It is like whack-a-mole. Or I use the analogy of the Cat in the Hat, you know, where he's trying to clean up the curtains and he uses the curtains to clean the rug and then the rug to clean the couch. It's just like it just never ends. Like, you fix one problem and you've created 10 more and you just can't keep up. So use it as a crutch, the drug, if you need it, but that shouldn't be the end-all be-all answer. You don't want to be on a pill, if at all possible, for the rest of your life. Go to the root cause. Another hour to go here on the Mark Cox Morning Show. We're talking to Jesse Jane Duff at 8:20. Stay with us.
Get more at 971talk.com.